Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift, and we have Thursday Night Football tonight, but not for our Falcons, but we'll get to the matchup later because it'll be right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game later tonight. But first, she is the queen of improv, a tofu taster, baseball's first lady here in Atlanta, Miss Allie Mack. The All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. Back behind the glass, there is no Dylon Matthews today. He is on assignment somewhere in the Northeast or Northwest or just the North. We have Mr. G-G-G-G-Money Unit, Garrett Chapman, and I am Squid Billy, a.k.a. Bo Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning.
What up?
How we doing? A little football tonight, a little Bills-Dolphins here on 99 The Game.
That's... I got that good old-fashioned feeling, man.
Well,
I've got that good old-fashioned feeling like the weekend is here.
First couple weeks, you're kind of, you know, getting used to football being back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, you know, once week three, for me anyways, of the NFL season hits, it's like, all right, we're just, this is life until, you know. What, January, mid-January?
At this point, it feels just fast and furious because we're already talking about week three with the NFL, week four with college football. It's just happening rapidly.
Goes by quickly.
And this is what I mean by, like, I got that good old-fashioned feeling. I feel like I'm getting in that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that rhythm is coming where you ride the highs of the weekends and a Falcon victory, and you're just like, man, crazy. Come in here, react on Monday, do whatever you got to do. You hit that small dip with that harsh reality on like Tuesday and Wednesday where you're like, God, no football. And then Thursday, you're like, yes, yes, it's back. It's here. It's back. So, yes, I just got that good old fashioned feeling, man, getting back in that rhythm, feeling good about it.
It is the emotional roller coaster. Well, just to let you know what's been happening since we were last in the studio, Braves won yesterday 9-4 against the Nationals, swept that series. Today's a day off for them. They'll head to Detroit tomorrow, and we'll have Grant McCauley on at 8:20 today to tell us if the playoffs aren't in the cards, what is the focus now for these guys? Tonight, playoffs continue for the Dream here at home. It's game three against the Fever. Right now, the series is tied 1-1. Of course, as we've been mentioning, Shaboozy will be on your screen tonight because it's Thursday night football. Bills and Dolphins will face off in Buffalo. But let's talk about Raheem Morris. He joined Dukes and Bell yesterday. We were waiting on this update on AJ Terrell still dealing with that hamstring injury, and right now he is week to week.
Definitely make it a competition. We always do that, but obviously last week we ended it and we put Glow out there. He got a chance to finish it for us. He did a nice job, had a knockdown pass, had some really good tackles. He was able to go out there and play for us. Obviously Billy plays inside, you know, Mike Hughes plays on the other side, and then we got people like Clark on the, roster. We have, you know, people on our practice squad to potentially get flexed up. We want to have those guys go out there and compete at a very high level this week in order to figure out who gets the best opportunity. But I always want to make it as defined as I can, right? We got Clark coming off the injury he had from the preseason, trying to get back into the mix. Great opportunity for him. Yeah, obviously, we picked up C.J. Henderson. Obviously, we've been kind of, you know, our Swiss Army knife and Natron books, right? Playing safety, playing nickel, playing outside. So, like, all of those guys having the opportunity to go compete for helmets, to compete to get on the grass to help us win is something that we look forward to doing.
He mentioned basically every corner we had on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, how are you going to replace a guy like that? Well, we got a couple of guys. Let me name every single one of them.
Yeah, and
that was a lot. That was a word salad a little bit.
Well, and the reason he went through all of them was part of the way that question was phrased was about the depth of the position, and you know, are you comfortable with it? And he is obviously. Glow D offered, stepped in and filled in when AJ was out. Look, I feel better than I have in recent years about the depth back there. I also feel better about the secondary when you're missing a guy like AJ, or if you're missing a guy like AJ because of the front seven. And look, the best friend of a backup cornerback is a pass rush. Of any cornerback is a pass rush.
Yeah.
And sometimes the best friend of a pass rush is a guy that can lock down for 3 or 4 seconds, which is, you know, is almost impossible to lock down any longer than that. And
complimentary defense.
Yeah.
Complimentary defense.
That said, I personally believe if it was up to, if I was asked this question, who's give me the right answer, and I'd be like, I think it's between CJ Henderson and D. Offord. And I think they're competing right now for that job. And I think D. Offord has a heads up and a leg up because he's already on the roster. He's going to play nickel. You don't have to, you know, you're going to elevate someone if AJ Terrell's out anyways in that back half. You know, Keith Taylor might be trying to sneak in. But if you, you know, I heard Kobe Bryant mentioned, and I'm like, not even close. Not even close. I heard someone say, well, I liked what I saw at camp, and I was like, what were you watching? Because I hardly saw him at camp, and when the only time I saw him in action in this preseason that I could really take anything away, he was getting burned twice in that Dallas game.
Yeah, that's just not a thing. And I'm with you. I'll be curious to see if CJ Henderson does get a realistic shot at this. And obviously, he has all the ability in the world, and we kind of talked about that when he was signed. It was like, oh, okay, cool. There's a lot of upside there. There's not much downside. It's not like you're guaranteeing a bunch of money. You just let him go out there and kind of roll it out, and you develop that positive depth. And so hopefully that's the scene we're playing out. To go back just a second to the injury, though, I mean, does what Raheem say there about it being week to week, is that not best case scenario? I mean, that's what I literally heard it, and I go, whoo! Like, it could have easily been a short-term IR thing where you look at it and go, dude, let's just go ahead and keep him out 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the thought of, like, a non-contact injury where you go down in the secondary when I believe there was a sack, I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking worst-case scenario. Then he grabs the hamstring, and I'm going, okay, that could be a year, that could be 2 days. Like, you don't ever know. And it feels like it's not 2 days, but it feels like we're veering in that direction with the AJ Terrell injury. And that's a guy we just can't lose long term.
It's really funny because I appreciate the fact that we were thinking different things. Because when I heard week to week, I go, well, he's out this week. That's what I heard. And I kind of figured that anyways. If he'd have said day to day, I'd have been like,
right,
real chance to play. Now, however, yeah. I don't want to overshadow what Raheem actually said. He said week to week. And we're going to take it all the way up to Sunday.
Yes, exactly.
So Raheem is leaving the door open. There is a chance that AJ could play. But it was – and I had kind of heard – I'd heard that it wasn't as bad as it could have been is what I heard initially.
100%.
Which – and I couldn't say at the time. Obviously, sometimes there's things I can't say. So when I heard Raheem kind of back, I go, oh, that's good. That means everything they've seen in the progression. However – when I hear week to week, it just makes me think, I don't believe he plays this week. That's where I go. Because I think to me, if I thought he was going to play this week, I'd have heard day to day. But Raheem is leaving the door open.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think that's something we obviously have to monitor here in the coming days. But yeah, it's good news either way.
We do have three different perspectives on this because immediately when you heard week to week, you're relieved. Bo, when you heard it, you thought he's not playing this week. I thought, okay, well, he's not, because I was nervous because it's hamstring. It was
right.
Like, it could be season.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So I was relieved. But then my next thought was like, he can make his rollerball, Mr. Atlanta's rollerball on October 3rd. Because that's his event. I was like, he can't be sitting out during his event. So I'm.
If there is anything that speaks to the three personalities sitting in this room right now, that would be the one. Like that. Is absolutely incredible. You're right, Mr. Atlanta's Rollerball. What was the date on that?
October 3rd.
Yeah, golly, man. Come on.
I was pretty impressed that you remember that. That was
That was crazy. Yes.
I honestly even forgot that was what the event was until you brought it up just now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
The AJT
about,
Foundation.
Talked about skating.
Well, yeah, that's he was excited stuff. About getting out there
he was.
And skating.
Yeah.
So. But who knows, with the injury, maybe now he's going to be a little bit more cautious with it.
He probably will. Somewhere that's a great point.
Yeah, somewhere it's one of those negatives that can that has a slight hint of positiveness in it. Like you're like, well, at least I know he won't break his arm rollerblading now. I mean,
I'll tell you a negative that I have leaned completely towards positive this early bye week. This early bye week. Like when the bye week came out, we're like, God's sake. Like, man, that's a terrible bye week. And I'm sure that in the end, like when we get towards the end of the season, I'll be just really upset that we don't have a bye week like in November or December. But the early bye week, I'm looking at it going, dude, AJ could probably use that week. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of guys that are a little bit dinged up that I'm like, man, you know what? It's not a bad thing that you're going to, you know, guys like Drake London, Darnell, Storm Norton. I'm like, how about Troy Anderson? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, you know what? We're only a couple weeks away from that.
You know what's funny is the last two years have been year one and year two of the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, which is happening again, by the way, this year, November 24th. I can steer you towards the link. And so it's been the Monday after the bye Sunday. And I've been like, man, if we could just get that one more year, come on, you know, for you know, newborn, everything. They're like, nope, October. I'm like, no, because we're still going to do it the Monday before Thanksgiving. And I was just like, no, don't do that. But you're right, man. The bye week coming early is a blessing in it a little bit because, you know, it'll give, you know, maybe you can get AJ healthy. You can bring back Storm Norton essentially and see if you will. And also, I just want to go ahead and put this out there. I think we talked, maybe you brought this up the other day. I can't remember who I was talking to about this. And it might have been you, so I apologize if it was you on the air.
Go ahead.
But I'm not so I don't know if Storm Norton rolls in and just starts. It was mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've come around to that because other than the three false starts, how has Elijah Wilkinson played?
He's been fine.
Exactly.
Has he been great? No. Has he been fine?
But yes. How many times have we called his name out other than the three false starts?
Yeah, not a ton.
So that's
he's
a
much
good thing.
Better in week two than week one, I will say.
Well, we're going to continue to size up the Falcons' upcoming game on Sunday. Next, Zach Robinson addressed a lot of the questions we've all been asking about the red zone issues. We'll play that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Garrett is filling in for Dylan today, which we greatly, greatly appreciate. Now, since Sunday, the red zone issues with the Falcons have been front and center. We've been hypothesizing, talking about it. What can we do? We asked listeners for ideas of what can we do, but let's go ahead and hear from Raheem Morris on this topic.
It's natural. It's part of the game. You know, obviously everybody wants those explosive plays. You know, they want to see those explosive plays, want to make those explosive plays. But at the end of the day, we got to play winning football. And if winning football is checking the ball down 10 times a game, then that's what it's going to be.
Interesting stuff. And obviously, I think we all wish we could just run it on every play. That would be great. But it's not. And, you know, obviously he's talking about the difference in the conversation is Raheem starts out there talking about between the 20s. Right? Between the 20s. And that's when we've been really, really good. And that's one of the things that Carolina has not been good at is between the 20s. I mean, every drive, I think it's 50% of their drives, and I'll get to it later. I got some stats from Mike Dupp, have made it all the way to the red zone or the end zone. And it's kind of crazy to look at it from that aspect. But you get down in the red zone and everything tightens up, and Raheem kind of talks about it. It's like, You know what? We're just getting some different looks. We're going to continue to try to run the ball. It's just it's not quite as effective down there right now. So it's something obviously they got to continue to dissect and look for different ways to do things. But this is not a it's not a this year problem. This has been a problem for a while for Atlanta's offense, and we're not built for it just yet for those tight spaces. So it's interesting to kind of see it all play out.
Well, you can't get off schedule in the red area. That's a bit number one thing for me. And they seemingly get down there and then they have a false start or a holding or, you know, something along those lines. Or you are ineffective on first down. And as soon as you get behind schedule, it makes it even harder. And it makes it harder anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
But it makes it extremely tough. Down there inside the 20, and it's hard to overcome. I just love the fact that he talked about we took what the defense gave us, and you know that to me is the definition of a balanced offense in the NFL. If I'm going to come at you and I'm going to say I dare you to run, which is what a too high safety look is,
yes,
and I run to the tune of 218 yards, that's pretty good. If I come like Tampa did in week one and say, Tampa is this really good run defense overall.
Sure.
But I'm going to take the run away from you. I dare you to throw it on me. And you throw it to the tune of 300 yards, which is what they did in week one. That's balanced offense. Every week in this league, it is matchup based.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're spot on. And that's what it's all about. And you know what's funny about this whole conversation is it's just not a thing at one point when I was playing. We started. Like, obviously, I was with the Falcons from 10 to 14, started veering towards, like, box counts.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for the most part, it wasn't that big of a deal. And it started becoming more and more, big of a deal because quarterbacks started throwing it quickly out to the flats, getting the ball out of their hand and trying to neutralize the pass rush and things like that. So you're going to take advantage of one-on-one matchups and making a guy miss and other things like that. But, I mean, when I was in college, I'd never once looked at a box count. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we ran the ball with Ingram when I was in college, and it was like never like, oh, man, there's nine guys in the box. Because our offensive coaches, Jim McElwain included, would be like, they can't fit nine in one gap. We're just blocking for one gap. They can't fit nine in one gap.
That's hilarious.
Focus on the A gap, we'll be able to run it. They can't fit them all in there. And that's just the way we went about our business. And so it's funny now to hear. And look, Raheem's spot on. It's all about, you know, where the safeties are rotating and these pre-snap reads and what Penix is seeing and be able to get into the correct play. And look, Dave Archer mentioned this a number of times in our conversation last Friday, and he mentioned it in the broadcast. They didn't feel good about their corners. They did not feel good at all about their corner matchup, especially with Darnell Mooney back in. So what do? You back off, you go too high, you make sure you don't get beat deep by the Michael Penix deep ball, which is what we all know that he's been great at in his short career in the NFL.
How impressive has it been with Michael Penix to that point? Thank you.
He was not going to speak again until it happened.
I basically just stared Allie down and said,
he really did.
Yeah. But to that, he has not forced it into areas. Now he might go three picks this week. I don't know. But through two games, he's done a good job of as a guy who has made his fourth and fifth starts in this league. He against two very good defenses, he has taken exactly what they've given him and not pushed. Not pushed the ball downfield, not really pushed it in harm's way too much. And that's impressive to me because that is kind of a veteran mindset in a rookie, I don't want to say body, but as far as games played, you know, in a rookie experience in the NFL.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think it goes back to I think we talked about this yesterday. He has, and it's an NFL next gen set, he has zero turnover worthy throws, which is crazy because I think Baker Mayfield might lead the league. Right now. And think about, kind of the dynamic there. So he's done a really, really nice job with it.
So Zach Robinson, to go back to the red zone and the issues that we were kind of talking about, he did give some insight yesterday, maybe about kind of where the issues are stemming from.
You know, when you look at it, I think we're putting ourselves in too many third downs. We've had a lot of third downs where on the second down plays, we could have executed a little bit better to get out of those third downs. I think the Vikings did a great job, kind of rushing four and having a lot of body presence in the middle of the field that made it tough where they're really kind of, you know, making you scramble in certain instances there, the way they were doubling some of our receivers. So, you know, we'll continue to look at that. Two-game sample size is obviously small, but it's definitely something we got to get fixed. We got to punch the ball in the end zone. But, you know, some small execution things. But then again, give credit to the Vikings as well. Some of those third downs, they did a nice job. And obviously we got to scramble when we get those opportunities like Mike's done. And we almost, you know, had one of the Mooney in the back of the end zone there. But, you know, some of those second downs, like I mentioned, are kind of putting us in some of these third downs that are in the tight red. The third downs are the most challenging downs, as you guys know.
I think the one, the Mooney that he's talking about, which was the scramble and the throw, and Mooney kind of comes back to it from the back pylon right there along the sideline. Mm-hmm. I think both those guys would love to have that one back. I think it was not a great throw, but a catchable throw, and Mooney couldn't catch it. And I think both. I think Mooney would probably tell you he should have caught that ball, and Penix would tell you he should have made a better throw on the run.
I almost wish he would have ran it. Coming back to the 22, when we watched 22, I kind of understood why he didn't. Don't take unnecessary shots. There's no reason. And that's kind of what that would have been if you think you could connect. But I agree with you. That one was one that you just kind of feel like you missed. The one where he throws, there's another one where he throws, I think, to Bijan on the flat. And it wasn't even in the flat. It was just out there right at the marker.
Yeah.
It might have been the second possession. Kyle has come open, and he could have really thread that needle. It would have, you know, he would have had to put a little something on it, I think, because I feel like I believe it was a safety that was closing in.
But, yeah.
But that's the throw he's going to make, in other words. So there's always going to be that. I think Zach's spot on, though. You, and it's kind of what we said, you can't get off schedule down there. You get off schedule, and now everything gets harder. And you can't get to that part of the field and make things harder on yourself because of your self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
This is a defense that they've been okay in the red area, but they're giving up points, man.
Yeah.
And you know, you're first in scoring defense right now in the NFL. Now through two games. So let's take it back a step. But that's one thing, but you're also 21st in scoring. You just got to find a way to capitalize.
Well, and I want to go to the red, you know, the red zone percentage, because I wanted to look at this and see, and you have the same number in front of me. 2 of 7, 28.6% is our red zone touchdown percentage. Now, that's an inflated number. We know that they let Tyler Allgeier score, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've scored, what, 3 touchdowns this season? The one that we've scored was the Michael Penix supermanning across the goal line in the red zone. Now, we scored the Bijan, and that's not a red zone touchdown. So it's frustrating to look at. There's only 4 teams that are behind you in that inflated number. Las Vegas is right behind you at 25%. So I'd say if, you know, without the Tyler Allgeier score at the end of the game, you'd probably go below them. And the only other 3 teams in that category lower than you, Tennessee Titans, New York Giants, and the Houston Texans, which it doesn't look like Houston, according to this number, has even been to the red zone, which is pretty interesting. They're scoring from outside the red zone when they score. So, you know, I just think there's a lot of work to do. I'm really, y'all are going to laugh at me because this is on brand. I'm really excited about the fact that we saw a counterplay last weekend. It shows me that it's available.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That there are things outside of the box that are available on the play calling sheet in some of these tight scenarios where we can actually try to gain an advantage on one side of the formation or the other side of the formation. That's the one thing about zone. You can't gain an advantage, right? So when you try, that's why gap schemes are so big. That's why Philadelphia runs them and all these other teams, because you can gain an advantage by bringing somebody from one side to the other side. So we'll continue to see if that evolves, but I'm pretty excited about the notion that Zach Robinson can at least get there. You know, we'll see what happens.
I feel like, Mike, that play has just, like, carried you throughout this week.
Dude, it's just, Al, you don't even understand. Been third year on the pre and post for the Falcons, and I've seen the guard pull probably 4 times. Probably 4. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's happening. Nobody panic. Nobody panic.
Look, we're going to continue to compare and contrast Carolina's defense, Falcons offense. But coming up next, week 4 of college football is on deck. We will help you map out your weekend viewing with a preview of who's playing who. And it's Throwback Thursday Trivia Day. Today's category is Unhinged. We'll review unhinged moments from all walks of life. That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. I will never get tired of Steve telling us how many days until Saturday.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
It gets confusing up in here.
I will say, it's kind of a lame slate tonight in college football. I was expecting more when I looked down at the schedule. It's
yeah.
Not that great. But yes, we are now 2 days from Saturday. So there you go.
All right. So the NCAA has officially eliminated the spring transfer portal. They'll move to a single window. Those dates have not been decided yet, but the potential dates could be January 2nd through January 11th.
Can somebody give me a reason why I should not love this? I can't think of one. This is the best news that has come out in terms of something the NCAA actually can do in college football that I've heard in some time.
Yeah, the only thing the NCAA is going to be good for moving forward is stuff like this. The controlling of the free-for-all as much as they can, right?
Yep.
And this is it. And look, I'm fine with it. I don't need – it's already bad enough. Now, I'll ask you this. How does this affect the portal when guys get fired? Because I don't know if this report's true or not, but I swear – and sometimes I feel like I dream stuff because everything's a blur these days. But I swear I read a report that a team – was looking at a player from Virginia Tech. Oh, again, it was like Florida State or somebody was looking for I think it was like a safety, a good player.
This is exactly why I brought this up yesterday, and I made the point that like they might be without a freaking team in a few weeks.
And I'm just like, this should not. Like, I'm not a fan of firing coaches in season because I don't think it does anything. If you wanna get a. You know, I just think it just causes more problems because of this kind of stuff. But especially 3 games in.
Well, yeah. And that's exactly what we were talking about this yesterday. I was like, dude, they might have messed up here because all these guys are eligible for a redshirt. And you might have a situation where nobody wants to play for Virginia Tech or UCLA by midseason. And every single one of them is like, you know what? I think I'm going to redshirt this year.
It's a lost year. What do you have? At least if you keep the coach, you know, that hopefully, unless it's a dire situation, the coach can say, look, we all have something to play for. You know, let's turn this ship around. It's kind of what happened with Napier last year at Florida. That's why if you want to get a head start, fire the guy, start your search quietly and fire a guy 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, well, you definitely should. I mean, unfortunately, in the nature of the business, you should have definitely waited till after the 4 games. So
no
you
kidding.
Can't have the whole team go redshirt while you fire your coach. So
also, that's the other thing I'm tired of. You don't. It's college football, man. You don't have the right to play for 10 years. Okay, this isn't a profession.
Yeah.
All right. Taking a look at the Week 4 matchups. Of course, Georgia and Bama both have byes this weekend. Tech is playing Temple. Now, number 22 Auburn is at number 11 Oklahoma. It's 3:30 on ABC.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great matchup. I think Jackson Arnold, obviously, was the Oklahoma quarterback last year. He will be returning back to, you know, where he made his presence felt and didn't feel welcome anymore as he goes down to Auburn. He's been pretty good this year. I think it's kind of worked out for both sides. I think there were questions about how he fit in the, the Hugh Freeze offense. And on the flip side, John Mateer is one of those guys that's in the top 5 Heisman conversation right now. So I think it's worked out well for both sides. I think it's a massive matchup. I did not foresee that this would be a game where I thought this was going to be a you might get fired game when we look towards the season. I think I remember saying that in one of our SEC previews, talking about it. It's going, dude, this might be a situation where if Oklahoma can't beat Michigan and Auburn can't beat Baylor, you might be looking at this game going, things can get south in a hurry. And yet both these teams are in the top 25. So kudos to both of these head coaches for making the changes they needed to make at the quarterback position.
Yeah, Oklahoma's playing some defense. So look, I know that they've played two of the three wins is Temple and Illinois State or something like that. But they only give up 19 points so far this season. And they, you know, everyone was touting how great Bryce Underwood looked last week against a nobody. He didn't look very I guess I'm on Twitter too much, but I hear someone go, Bryce Underwood's gonna be a still has 2 years of college football left. And look at this, and he's like Western Michigan. They weren't doing that, you know, against Oklahoma. That defense that Venables has Underwood so frustrated he was screaming at his own wide receivers and stuff like that. Their defense, they're playing defense there. Year one at Oklahoma, his defense looked awful. And then in year two, he had everything he wanted. They played good defense last year.
Yeah, they did.
They just couldn't play offense. And Jackson Arnold was the problem. I would bet if if that's what I did, I only do the underdog fantasy, just higher or lower. But if I was going to bet on the spread, I would take Oklahoma giving up, 6.5 points. I think Oklahoma beats them like a drum.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see the way this match. Because here's the thing. There's going to be arguments both ways for both of these guys as a head coach. But there's two things we know about this matchup. Hugh Freeze can coach an offense. It can scheme an offense. And Venables can coach a defense. Absolutely can coach a defense. So watching this matchup, and I got a chance to see it when Bama faced off against Oklahoma and Oklahoma last year. It's going to be very interesting. Now, I will take up for Jackson Arnold a little bit what you said, that he was the problem last year in Oklahoma. They were down like their top five wide receivers and I think missing four offensive linemen. So he didn't really have a full deck of cards. I think Venables actually mentioned that when he talked about him returning back up to Oklahoma this weekend.
And I'll piggyback on that because it's a fair point. Everything was a problem there. Every quarterback they tried there was a problem to the extent where they went out. The problem, but he also took 30 something sacks last year, which just did not help. It just was it was all in all a bad year for them.
So Florida is at number 4 Miami 7:30. On ABC. It's also going to be heard live on 92.9 The Game after Atlanta United. Bo, is there, and I'm not picking, I'm asking, is there any chance Florida pulls this one off?
I'm really looking forward to Tulane at Ole Miss at 3:30.
Dang, lack that much confidence. No way.
I'm kidding a little bit. I'm trying to give Allie a hard time because that's what I do.
Cristobal's going to throw a stinker at some point, right?
This is the kind of game that Napier's like, you come out of it and he's in the postgame presser and he's like, Coach, did you expect DJ Lagway to throw 6 touchdowns after a 5 interception game? Well, you know, I had all the confidence in the world. We were just working through things. This is the kind of game that Florida wins, that Napier wins, and Cristobal loses.
I agree with that.
Carson Beck is getting a lot of love. Florida knows Carson Beck. Let's put it that. They know Touché. Carson Beck. Miami's riding high. The one thing about Miami is every time they tell you, the U is back, the U shows you why they're not back.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have confidence. It's a rivalry game. And don't think there aren't a few players left, even though there's a transfer portal era, there aren't a few players left on that sideline when blue and orange that remember being embarrassed on their home field last year in week one by this Miami team. So, yes, I think there's a chance.
Anything is possible.
I think Miami's a favorite for a reason. But I think Florida played the best team in the country last week in LSU at home. So I don't think there's any reason for them to be scared. And they hung in. Their defense hung in there.
I'm rooting for you, Bo. I'm rooting for you. Once we get through week 4 of college football, make sure to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I appreciate that Bo knows it is Throwback Thursday trivia day, and he is stretching and warming up.
I'm doing vocal stretches. Unique New York.
Bo.
Unique New York.
Bo.
Yes, if you have not heard this before, their name is their buzzer. So Mike and Bo yell out their names a lot during this segment. We played the audio yesterday of Dabo Sweeney's spicy presser. Some might call it a little unhinged.
Okay.
Yesterday, unorthodox. So today's theme is going to be unhinged. Moments from all walks of life. We're talking sports, pop culture, the internet.
Okay.
Cool?
All right.
Here we go.
Bo.
Garrett, please help me hear who yells their name first, because it's always,
it's always me.
Controversial. All right. Who bit Evander Holyfield?
Mike.
Bo.
Mike Tyson.
That is correct.
I disagree with that decision by Garrett.
Who slapped Chris
Rock?
Mike.
Will Smith.
That is correct. It is 2-0. What Royals star famously broke a bat over his head?
Mike. Bo.
Mike.
Bo Jackson.
That is correct.
Part of me wanted to say George Brett for one second.
Yeah, that is the pine tar incident.
Okay.
Didn't break the bat.
Yeah.
It is 2-1. Bo is in the lead. Who shaved their head in 2007?
Mike.
Mike.
Britney Spears.
That's correct. I'm so proud of you.
Let's go. That's in my forte right there.
All right. Who fired their head coach after winning back-to-back Super Bowls?
What?
Bo.
Bo.
Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, good call. That's what? Yes. Okay. Good call.
It is 3-2. Bo is in the lead. What wickedly talented pop star got caught licking a donut on camera in a gas station?
Mike?
Mike.
Ariana Grande?
That's correct. Do you remember
I see what you did there. I love how Garrett pointed that, yes, it was Mike first. I'm like, I didn't even say anything.
That lets me know his ears are clogged.
I'm being consistent. I'm being consistent.
All right. What Yankees pitcher famously flipped off the crowd while exiting a start?
Oh, this is...
Say your name.
Mike.
Yes.
I can see his face.
Uh-huh. Can you see his finger?
Go ahead, Bo.
I don't know. Kevin Brown?
No.
No. Jack McDowell.
Oh, that's not who I was thinking about. I was thinking of the left-handed, the hefty lefty guy with the wore the Babe Ruth cap. I'll think of it in a second.
All right. I'm going to be lenient on this next answer. Who said, cash me outside? Mike.
Well, see, her name is Danielle Bergoli, but I think she goes by Bad Baby or Bad Barbie or whatever.
I also would have accepted the Dr. Phil girl.
Either one. There you go.
How do you know that?
I didn't even know her name. Like, how do you know her actual name?
He knows all her aliases,
Let's go.
Okay. All right.
All right. So right now it is 4-3. Mike is in the lead. Who was drunk on a boat celebrating his Super Bowl win?
Mike? Tom Brady.
That is correct. He threw the Vince Lombardi trophy.
I was making sure. I was like, you know what? This has got to be a Tom Brady answer. There's a number of them.
All right, just stop talking. Let's go to the next question.
What NFL player famously yelled, "You like that?"
Bo. Mike. Oh, that.
Garrett
says
Bo.
Kirk Cousins.
That is correct.
That is.
Mike's over there stalling trying to kill
this. This is ridiculous.
5-4. Mike is still
in the lead. Not stalling for anything.
Who jumped on Oprah's couch?
Bo.
Oh, Garrett. Garrett's got a look of stress on his face. He's going to say
Oh, my God.
Tom Cruise.
Okay,
is this thing on?
All right. It is tied right now. What was the lifelong Cubs fan's name?
Mike.
Mike.
Steve Bartman.
That's correct.
I knew it. I just wanted to let her finish the question. I should have just jumped.
All right. 6-5. All right. We're going to try a couple more, Garrett. Real quick, which ex-boyfriend of Kim Kardashian got "My girl is a lawyer" tattooed on him?
Mike. I mean.
Right.
I don't know. Go ahead, Bo.
Will you repeat the first part of the question?
Which ex-boyfriend of Kim Kardashian?
Yeah. Reggie Bush.
Nah. All right, Mike, you ended up winning this one. That was Pete Davidson.
Wow.
Yeah, they got that.
Okay, the ex-boyfriend was the key, because I was like, it's definitely not Kanye, which would have been a Kanye thing.
Or Chris Humphries, because she was married to him, too.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you know, she's married, what, 4 people?
72 days, Chris
Humphries. Wait, 4? I thought she was only married to 2. Was she married to Ray J?
She was married before she got famous. She, like, ran off at 18 and got married. And then...
She married somebody other than Chris Humphries and Kanye, right?
No, I don't think so.
I think there's three. So next year would be lucky number four.
There you go. Good for her.
Congratulations.
She's like Elizabeth Taylor of her time.
6-5. You are in the lead for the season. It's now 9-8 for the season. Coming up, we're going to turn our attention back to the Falcons. Mike and Bo have been reviewing film all week. They have extensive knowledge of the inner workings of the Falcons, so they'll dissect what these matchups look like next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Mike Mafia.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.